into a steel blade, we would be digging shards of metal out of our teeth and arses. I still didn't think this blade could take such magic, but who knows? Maybe the fey metal could take even more. I do know one thing, your lordship. You made one hell of a blade.
The smith grinned and clapped his lord on the back. Richter smiled back.
Thanks, man.
He couldn't quite believe it himself. Hearing that certain metals could only hold certain amounts of enchantment energy after he had invested several souls' worth wasn't the best way to get the news, but it had worked out. The Chaos Seed knew that he would be a bit more careful in the future, though. The pressure and the out-of-control sensations he had felt when enchanting the blade made more sense now. Immortal or not, the idea of picking shrapnel out of his body did not sound like a good time. He put it out of his mind as something to worry about later. Now that his blade had been created, he realized there was another pressing issue. He still hadn't eaten.
I'm going to get some lunch and check on the members of our war party that are still being held hostage by Sumiko.
Crom chuckled.
Tell the wee lady that Big Crom says hello.
Richter looked at him and chuckled back.
Yeah, I'm not going to be doing that.
Crom just kept making eye contact with a maniacal grin on his face until Richter grew creeped out enough to leave the forge. While leaving, he sent out a mental call to the adder. Alma flew down and rested on his shoulders while he walked, and Futin floated along beside him. Richter had the remnant guide him towards Sumiko's makeshift infirmary. Before long, he stood in front of a large tent. It was made of a patchwork of beige and white swatches of canvas. Sewn onto the front was the golden glyph of a circle with an opening at the top, like a cup that was to be filled. Richter's Gift of Tongues ability identified it as part of an old pictographic language. The glyph was an ancient symbol for life. A woman came out wearing light tan clothing and carrying a load of dirty rags. She smiled at Richter, giving a warm, "Greetings, my lord," before continuing on about her business. Richter smiled back. It pleased him immensely to see his people happily at work. He walked inside the tent and was instantly impressed. Despite Sumiko's complaints about not having a proper place to work, what he saw was a study in efficiency. The grass was cut low, and a small brazier in the center of the tent made it pleasantly warm but not oppressively hot. It also filled the air with a pleasantly soothing scent. A row of cots lined one wall, and the other side of the tent had tables laden with bandages, red vials of what looked like healing potions, and numerous dried herbs. Sumiko was standing over a cot and was speaking to a group of villagers dressed in the same tan clothing the woman carrying the rags had been wearing. He couldn't see the patient initially, but when Richter walked closer, he saw a very unhappy Calder laying while Sumiko described his condition.
This particular god decided to attack a monster made of solid rock that was 20 feet tall. Can anyone tell me what is wrong with this patient, besides the fact that he also has rocks in his head?
Many of the villagers raised their hands. Sumiko pointed at one, and the man spoke up.
He broke his right clavicle and dislocated the same shoulder when the giant kicked the shield he was holding.
Correct. Now, it was a simple matter for me to diagnose that with a spell and mend the bone with another. But what would we do to figure out and fix it if we could not use magic?
Again, a forest of hands shot up. Sumiko chose a woman who answered,
Physical inspection followed by manual investigation of the bone. If we found it was broken, we could align the bones and then immobilize that arm to help it heal.
Anything else?
Sumiko asked. This time, there was no rush to answer. After a few moments, though, another villager, a teenage girl, raised her hand. When she was called on, she spoke in a hesitant voice.
We could use Serana extract to reduce any swelling and crushed Yulin leaf to help the bone mend.
Good,
Sumiko said, clearly pleased.
A tea brewed from crimberries will also serve to preserve the strength of muscles while the bone heals.
Her gaze scanned the tan-clad villagers, and when she spoke again, it was with the firm tone of a headmistress.
Remember this. Whether you have healing magic or not, if you are under my command, you will learn to be a healer. Each of you will inspect the sergeant's arm and clavicle, one at a time. Pay special attention to the musculature of the arm. Though the injury has been healed, you should be able to detect a difference in the elasticity of the muscles when you compare the right to the left.
Now wait just a minute,
Calder protested.
I did not agree to be poked and prodded by your band of junior leeches.
Speaking sweetly, Sumiko leaned over the guard and said,
Do we really need to have another talk about the penalties of not being a good patient?
Despite her tone, there was just the slightest bit of ominous emphasis on the word talk. The sergeant's eyes widened slightly.
No. I don't think that is necessary, Lady Sumiko.
I am pleased to hear that,
she said in the same sweet tone.
I will try to forget that you called my healers leeches, Sergeant Calder.
Thank you, Lady Sumiko. Much obliged,
he said, chastened. Richter observed the scene with no small amount of amusement. He cleared his throat and said, How is the patient doing? Everyone turned to see the Lord of the Mist Village standing in the tent. Each of the villagers bowed slightly and placed their hands on their hearts. Sumiko was apparently not as impressed by his august presence and just snorted.
I let the rest of your war party go an hour ago. This one had to have several bones reconstructed, though, and so I have been watching him a bit longer. I hope you are not here with some foolish request to get him back on duty now.
A bit of heat made it into her voice at the end. Calder grasped at the chance to be released from the tent like a drowning man reaching for a life preserver. Already starting to stand, he said,
My lord, I'm ready to face any danger that you need. I am your man, and all you need to do is say the word. I am ready to fight by your side.
His eyes locked onto Richter's, pleading for all they were worth. Richter stroked his chin and cocked his head as if pondering a great decision. He slowly said, You know, I appreciate that, Calder. But I just wouldn't be able to sleep tonight if you came to harm because you left this tent too early. The sergeant quickly opened his mouth to object, but Richter held up a hand.
No, no. Your health is paramount.
In fact, Lady Sumiko, I charge you to hold on to this man until he is completely healthy. I mean, you hold on to him if he has so much as an upset tummy, no matter how many days it takes or how many tests you have to do.
Calder looked at him in shock and dismay, not believing that his lord would betray him in this most dastardly of ways.
Richter looked back and said, Do you remember when we first met at Leaf's Crossing, Sergeant? Do you remember that you tricked me into paying a gold coin to that government worker, Edwin? Calder blinked in disbelief that such an event could be coming back to haunt him. Richter plastered a wide grin on his face and winked at the man. Rest assured, I do. And I'd say we're even. He turned around and started walking out of the tent. Before he left, he heard Sumiko's whip-like voice ordering her healers to form a line and begin examining Calder. The man shouted after him, promising that he would pay the gold back. Then he began cursing the first
heavy-handed troll spawn
that started examining him. As the Lord of the Mist Village emerged from the tent and stood in the sunshine, he looked up at the cornflower blue sky with its white fluffy clouds. Richter let loose an immensely satisfied sigh and couldn't fight the feeling that all was well with the world. Chapter 8, Day 111, Kuborn 1, 15,368 EBG. Happy to hear that the other members of the war party were either on their feet or about to be, Richter walked with a light-hearted step towards the feast area. Foregoing the high table, he grabbed a wooden plate and heaped some food upon it. Then he sat with his people. Before long, they were all laughing and sharing the details of their lives with him. One man pointed at his daughter and proudly said she was learning to weave. Another woman pointed to her son and told Richter how the boy's herb lore skill was increasing as he helped the gardeners each day. In a world where the best most families could hope for was mindless toil and a daily struggle to feed their families, the parents were overjoyed that their children were learning skills that could prepare them for the future. More and more people came up to his table and told him similar stories. It was revitalizing. All Richter had been worrying about lately was the upcoming battle with the bugbears, the threat of the eaters, and keeping the lands around the village free of monsters and dangerous predators. While he was focusing on the big picture, apparently right under his nose, the miracle that was normal life had continued. His people had been living, laughing, and loving each other. It reminded him of what he was fighting for and energized him for the battles to come. He tried to get FaceTime with as many of his people as he could. He was even able to meet the two scribes that had been hired. They assured him that they would have two higher-quality blank books ready within the next few days. Nodding to them, he moved on. Before long, he ran into Glorin. Since obtaining his profession, Richter had been wanting to see the elf enchanter.
"Greetings, my lord enchanter,"
Glorin said with a bow. When he straightened, Richter could see that he was smiling. "I'm glad I ran into you, Glorin," Richter said, smiling back. "I need you to prepare yourself. We need to increase your level. I've already been able to do amazing things as a professed enchanter. I won't be able to see to the village's needs by myself, though. We need to equip our people as best we can. We also need to have more to trade. What I'm saying is, I need you to start going out with the hunting squads. I need you to gain experience, and then you are going for your trial." Glorin paled somewhat.
"I've never been much with a blade, my lord."
Richter nodded. "I'm not asking you to attack gnolls and goblins. You will be a member of my war party and protect it as much as possible. I love that everyone is happy, but we cannot allow this," he said, indicating the smiling people around them, "to distract us from the fight that is coming. The mists are not infallible, and we need to grow stronger." Glorin nodded, but still didn't seem convinced. "The guards will protect you, and I will try to bring you out with my group. But I need this to happen." Richter made his voice firm. "Your lord needs this to happen." Glorin's face lost some of its hesitancy. He placed a fist to his heart and bowed slightly.
"Yes, my lord. As you say."
"Good," Richter said. He clapped the man on the back and told him to see Crom later to be outfitted for armor and a crossbow. The enchanter walked off, clearly deep in thought. Richter considered calling after him, but whatever he said would just have been empty words. He didn't like ordering Glorin into harm's way, but he knew he would do it again. The truth was that his people needed to be stronger. Richter knew he couldn't protect every one of them. They needed to learn to protect themselves. If all he had to deal with was a bit of hesitancy, he would count himself lucky, but he didn't think he would be that fortunate. He moved on. Except for Calder, each of the other members of the war party found him during lunch and said they were ready to fight. Richter told each to be at the gate at sunrise. He was more than pleased that Bayon had reached level 10.
"So, you're ready for a profession?" Richter asked with a smile.
Bayon nodded happily.
"The only reason I have not gone for my trial yet is because of the quest you gave me. As nice as her butt is, I do not want to work for that angry wood elf Amazon."
Richter chuckled. He actually thought Tabia was a nice woman. Bayon's dislike most likely came from the fact that Tabia's wife had decked the gnome after he got a little too familiar. As far as Richter was concerned, he wasn't sure if Bayon or Tabia would be a better choice. He actually would love for Bayon to continue his magical studies and become a professed mage, but a great first step would be for him to become a professed alchemist. At the very least, he would get talent points until he reached level 20. Richter said goodbye to the gnome as Sion walked up.
"I have something you need to see,"
the sprite said. Richter looked around. Most of the people were leaving the feast area now and getting back to work. He nodded to his friend and they started walking towards the meadow north of the village. The two men chatted about this and that as they walked. Richter tried to get Sion to share what he had found, but the sprite just kept saying that he needed to see it for himself. They climbed up the hill to the meadow and Richter took a moment to marvel at how much had changed since he had first come here. Directly in front of him was a large patch of tilled earth. Herbs of various colors and sizes grew under the careful ministrations of Isabella and her gardeners. Immediately to the west of it was one of Richter's core buildings, the Dragon's Cauldron. The edifice was a thing of beauty. Created entirely from the incredibly hard substance called glass, the building refracted the sunlight and made rainbows appear on every nearby surface. The cauldron was enough to awe any who saw it, but on the northern aspect of the meadow was a true miracle. The snow-white leaves of the quickening shifted gently in the light wind. The celestial tree served to enrich Richter's lands and, perhaps even more importantly, was serving as a cradle for the rebirth of the pixie race. The wonders did not stop there. The far western end of the meadow was dominated by a lake. A waterfall fed it from the cliffs lining the northern side of the glade. Richter, or more specifically Sion, had been able to find a hidden cave behind the waterfall, and that had become the location of his new crystal garden. Finally, there was also a small but precious clutch of scath eggs he had gained after a life-and-death battle. The creatures might one day be the key to the village having trained monsters, or even a cavalry. Richter smiled. Exciting things were afoot. "Where are we going?" he asked Sion.
"To the crystal garden. The mist workers have cleared out the crystal that was overgrowing the passage. I went inside this morning. There are some things you need to see."
Richter nodded. "Let's stop at the cauldron and the lake on the way, then." They walked by the garden, nodding to the workers and Isabella as they passed by. As soon as they entered the cauldron, Richter saw Tavia hard at work. The beautiful, dark-skinned wood elf stood at a crystal table, slowly adding a purple liquid to a bottle of clear liquid. It was clear that she was focusing hard, so the two companions didn't disturb her. When she finished what she was doing, the elf audibly exhaled in relief and placed both vials in holders on the table. Richter decided he might not want to know exactly what she had been mixing. "Tavia," he said. She looked over her shoulder in surprise. When she saw who had spoken, she turned quickly, her dreaded hair swinging heavily behind her. She placed her hand on her heart and bowed slightly.
"I did not see you, Lord Richter. It is a pleasant surprise."
"Hard at work?" he asked lightly.
"I will be ready with the magnificent potion before the end of the week," she replied with absolute seriousness.
"I'm glad to hear it," he said. "Keep doing whatever you are doing. Right now I need to use the central cauldron." She nodded and got back to her work. Richter walked up to the clear cauldron that sat in the middle of the building. He could see glass vessels tracing through the large pot. He could feel the low and slow thrum of the dragon cauldron's heart as it pushed glass blood through the building. Looking at his companion, Richter said, "It's time to feed the beast." Sion rolled his eyes, but looked on in interest as Richter reached into his bag of holding. The first thing the Chaos Seed took out was the other half of the bag of concentrated crystal. With two fingers, he took the smallest pinch possible and dropped it into the cauldron. A prompt appeared. As always, the building seemed to sense his intent. "It appears you are trying to use the transmutation properties of the dragon's cauldron. In order to do this, a functional unit of a substance must be sacrificed. The amount you have provided is insufficient." Richter grunted. He had a feeling that wasn't going to work. Trying not to think about the loss, he emptied the bag into the cauldron. "Do you wish for the dragon's cauldron to consume enhanced powdered crystal for future production via transmutation? The material will be consumed as the dragon's cauldron learns its structure, yes or no?"
"Bye-bye, you sexy thing," Richter thought to his precious enhanced crystal.
He chose yes, and the pulse of the vessels lining the central cauldron increased in speed. The crystal began to vibrate as the pulse increased, and soon it disappeared. "The dragon's cauldron has learned to create enhanced powdered crystal." Richter repeated the process with ingots of elementum, cobalt, quicksilver, and moonstone. He also tried both the blood from the dark aberration and ichor from the crypt mistress in the cauldron, but as they were specific ingredients rather than resources, they were not candidates for transmutation. Richter just kept placing anything that would work in the cauldron. Regular crystal, wood, marbled quartz, even water. Each vibrated until they were consumed by the cauldron. As each new substance was consumed, Richter found he could access the conversion rate of one material into another. The conversion rate was unfortunately high in almost every case, but there was a clear loss. It took more than 200 measures of crystal to make one measure of enhanced crystal, but one measure of enhanced crystal only made 12 measures of regular crystal. That was one of the better conversion rates. It took more than 100,000 ingots of iron to make one ingot of cobalt. The conversion of high steel was slightly better at 93,785 to 1, but was still obviously more than he could swing. On the other hand, 1 kilo of iron could be obtained from 3 kilos of wood. Water could buy basically nothing, though, most likely because it was so common in his lands. All it showed was a sideways infinity symbol when compared to other resources. Richter wondered if water might be equally traded for gold if his village had been in a desert. He was about to leave when he had a final thought. Gritting his teeth against the cost, he dropped a pearl into the cauldron. Surprisingly, the jewel began to vibrate and it disappeared. Richter hadn't really thought it would work, but he supposed it made sense. In the game, jewels had been part of certain spells and definitely were part of certain items that could be crafted. He thought about it for a second, and then painfully placed one type of each jewel in the glass bowl. His stomach actually cramped when he saw the gems disappear. When he was done, he added a single copper, silver, and gold coin for good measure. Each of them were accepted by the cauldron.
"I know that had to hurt," Sion said, staring at his friend.
"It really did,"
Richter replied with a haggard expression.
"Are you ready to leave?"
Richter shook his head. "I have one last thing to try before we leave." When he had seen the chest become part of the Forge of Heavens, it had given him an idea. He walked over to a nearby wall and reached into his bag. As always, the space-folding properties of the bag amazed him. He kept pulling and was able to remove a 5-foot-tall copper still, even though on the outside, the bag was no more than a foot deep. Hoping this worked, he placed the still on the ground. He almost cheered when a prompt came up. "Greetings, Master of the Dragon's Cauldron. Do you wish to add this copper still to the structure of the cauldron? This will cost 17 alteration points. Currently, there are 100 of 100 alteration points available in your core building at level 1. Yes or no?" Richter selected yes. Surprisingly, a prompt appeared telling him to take the still outside. He was confused at having a building give him instructions, but did as he was told. Walking outside, he saw a flat floor of glass grow out from the main building. 4 short knobs appeared on the ground. He placed the copper still on the knobs, not surprised that it fit perfectly to keep the still in place. As soon as the copper tube was in place, it began to glow. The entire 10-by-10-foot glass floor began to vibrate as well, so the companions stepped off of it. Glass grew up from the floor and covered the still. The light pulsed brighter and brighter until Richter had to shield his eyes. When the light died down, Richter looked to see what had happened and whistled in appreciation. The original still had more than quadrupled in size. A copper pipe ran off from one side and entered a second enclosed copper tube. That ran into a third copper tube that had a spigot attached. Glass had been used to join different pieces that even at first glance could clearly be taken apart for cleaning. "You have added copper still to the Dragon's Cauldron. Current alteration points available, 83 of 100. Alteration points will regenerate at 1 per day."
"What is this thing?"
Sion asked, kicking the still. The large drum rung like a bell.
"You'll see,"
Richter said gleefully. Then he spoke English for the first time in what seemed like an age. It felt strange for his mouth to be forming the words, but the occasion called for nothing less than a deep southern drawl.
"We're going to have some fun."
He walked up to the second drum and inspected it. The cauldron had even included a doubler. Richter didn't know if the building had read his mind, or it was connected to some cosmic moonshine-slash-alchemy database, but he wasn't complaining. He looked at Futin and gave specific orders to relay to the village cooks. He wanted his mash to start fermenting immediately. Whistling an off-tune little ditty, he grabbed Sion and the two friends walked away. Chapter 9, Day 111, Kuborn 1, 15,368 EBG. The companions walked towards the western side of the meadow. Alma flew above them, gliding on air currents with her wings outstretched while the adder slid along in the grass beside them. The huge snake's camouflage was so good that it was practically invisible, despite the fact that Richter knew it was only 5 feet away. He looked at it as he walked. Soon, he would have to try and tame it again. He just hoped his training with Alma would help him to keep his head this time. When they were only 100 yards away from the lake, Richter heard voices. As they got closer, he was able to see two figures standing knee-deep in the water. They were laughing and splashing each other. Both were about 5.5 feet tall. One was male, and the other female. The similarities in their appearance made it obvious that they were related. More importantly, both were completely nude. Richter was happy to see that their appearances were not exactly the same. In fact, there were some extremely interesting differences. The two friends stopped walking at the edge of the lake bank, 2 feet above the water level. They were both human, had fair skin and wild mops of brown hair. Their features were refined, and both of them could only be described as beautiful. When Richter analyzed the woman, he could see why. Name, Deera. Race, human. Disposition, pleased. Humans are one of the shortest-lived but most prolific breeders in the land. Humans have a broader affinity for skills than other races. No special bonuses to race. Humans get 4 points to distribute per level. Age, 19. Level, 7, 38%. Health, 120. Mana, 100. Stamina, 130. Strength, 10. Agility, 10. Dexterity, 11. Constitution, 12. Endurance, 13. Intelligence, 10. Wisdom, 10. Charisma, 36. Luck, 10. Deera's status was almost a mirror image of the male, Darren. Both had heavily invested in charisma. In retrospect, he realized he had seen them both before during the night of the welcome feast for the new villagers, but he had met so many people that it had been a blur. He remembered them now. Seeing them both naked and together had an effect that he hadn't truly appreciated before this particular moment. "Maybe we should come back later," he said to Sion. Though he had spoken quietly, the two frolicking teenagers heard him. They both turned unabashedly to address their lord. Richter looked at Sion in confusion as to what was happening, but the sprite was just gazing at the woman with a big smile on his face.
"Greetings, my lord," Darren said with a slight bow. "We have been hoping that you would come to see us soon,"
Deera finished seamlessly.
"There is so much we wish to thank you for, letting us stay
in the village, giving us the opportunity to care for these creatures."
Darren picked up the conversation again without pause.
"And we truly love the raw beauty of our new home,"
Deera finished with a smile. They had moved closer while they addressed him. Now one of her arms was draped around Darren's neck, and her naked body was molded to his side.
"We absolutely must find
a way to thank you properly, my lord, day or night,"
Darren said with a small, enticing smile.
"We are at your disposal,"
Deera said with an identical smirk. She detached herself from Darren and walked towards Richter, giving him a clear view of her natural possessions. When she was only a foot away, a delicate hand reached up towards him from where she stood in the lake below. Richter didn't really realize that he was staring until Sion kicked his foot with a snicker.
Yes, well, that's a very nice offer."
He reached out and helped her out of the water and up onto the bank. Whether by accident or design, as she stepped up, she tripped slightly, and her entire wet body was pressed against his as he caught her. His shirt moistened, and he could feel her erect nipples through the cloth.
"Oh, my lord is so strong,"
she murmured as she ran her hand along his bicep. Again, it took Sion coughing loudly for Richter to come back to himself. He knew he was being managed by the small woman, but he also knew he didn't fucking care. Letting her go, he stepped back. Unfortunately, or again, maybe not, he didn't realize that Darren had stepped out of the lake while he held Deera and was standing behind him. This time, it was Richter who almost stumbled, and the beautiful man's arms wrapped around him.
"I would never let you fall, my lord,"
Darren said softly. The man's mouth was too close to Richter's ear. Sion was openly laughing now, never one to miss an opportunity to revel in Richter's idiocy or discomfort. Richter, for his part, quickly extricated himself from the man's embrace and with a gruff cough asked,
So, you are the two villagers Randolph is charged with caring for the scaff eggs?
Darren walked over to Deera, who interlaced her fingers with his.
Yes, my lord. We have always had a
high affinity for the skill beast taming, Darren continued. My sister and I...
You two are brother and sister? Richter asked, a touch too loudly. They did look insanely similar, as he had first noted, but their level of closeness and affection had made him think that his initial assessment had to be wrong. Their bits were touching, for Christ's sake. Deera's laugh was like the light-hearted trill of a songbird.
We are twins, my lord. We share our connection to animals, our appearance, and our love for life. In fact,
we share anything and everything you might desire,
Darren finished. He also made what was, in Richter's estimation, an uncomfortable amount of eye contact while he said it. Needing to break the odd tension, Richter punched his cackling companion rather hard in the chest. As Sion's laughter turned into a wheezing effort to catch his breath, Richter asked the twins to show him the eggs. They smiled and started walking along the edge of the lake bank. Sion stood up straight, a triumphant look still on his red face, and followed the twins with Richter.
Did you know?
Richter asked his friend in an urgent whisper.
Know what?
Sion asked innocently.
That Billy Bob and Jesse Ray up there were brother and sister. I mean, what's the deal? This is weird, right? Even for the land?
Sion chuckled again.
Do not ask me. I think all of you humans are strange. Though I may have to find some time to spend with Deera sometime soon.
Sion's gaze was more than appreciative as he took in her beautiful, sculpted profile.
You're more than twice her age, Richter said.
Sion's voice got a touch husky.
And there are some things I plan on teaching her.
Shaking his head, Richter left his randy friend to his dastardly plotting. The twins had stopped walking. Deera smiled and beckoned for him to look over the bank of the lake. As he leaned over, sure enough, he saw the clutch of eggs. A small wooden fence had been erected around the site. He examined one of the eggs. You have found River Scaff Egg. Health, 10 of 10. Durability, 4 of 4. Item class, common. Weight, 0.5 kilograms. Traits, will lose 1 HP per day unless properly cared for. Will hatch in a matter of days. Each egg he looked at, including the bull scaff egg, was in perfect health. As he watched, the twins covered their hands in mud and carefully turned each egg.
How do you know what to do?
Richter asked. When he had tried to care for the eggs, a prompt had told him he didn't have the requisite skills, despite his ability to tame beasts and monsters. There was no way these two could be blood magi. Darren smiled up at him, his teeth perfectly straight and gleaming white, not something that was seen too often in the land.
My sister and I were both born with the same ability, my lord. It is called empathic knowledge. The higher our charisma, the better we can understand the needs and wants of others. It is our ability that guides us in dealing with beasts.
Or man.
Deera finished with a small, knowing smile as she looked at the sprite. Sion smiled back broadly while waggling his eyebrows. Resisting the urge to push his friend in the lake to cool off, Richter asked, "So your care for the eggs is completely based on your ability? This empathic knowledge?"
"Oh no, my lord,"
Deera answered.
"We have formal training with animals
as well,"
Darren picked up.
"Both my sister and I have reached apprentice rank in the skill Animal Husbandry and the sub-skill
Exotic Beasts. Our clients at the brothel enjoyed bringing dangerous animals to bed sometimes,"
Deera finished offhandedly. "Okay," Richter thought, "information overload." He opened his mouth to ask one of a dozen questions, but then closed it. What he had here was a pair of beautiful, oversexed twins who were apparently former prostitutes, but could also care for and hopefully train a set of deadly monsters to fight on his behalf. He decided not to poke this particular hornet's nest of strangeness at this particular moment and just take it in stride. Instead, he asked, "Can you teach me your skill?" Both of the twins smiled broadly and invited him down into the lake with them. Ignoring Sion's grin, Richter removed his shoes and rolled up his pant legs as he stepped down into the cool water and smooth mud. Over the next 20 minutes, the twins described what they termed the link, a connection to the life force of the animal. As they spoke, Sion also joined them in the water, gently running his hands over the eggs while the twins spoke softly as to what the small, unborn lives inside were feeling. Richter listened intently, and then just let himself go, reveling in the moment. He didn't try to force himself to feel the link. He just opened his senses. He experienced the gentle tug of the water on his ankles, smelled the sweet, wet earth around him, and basked in the gentle sunlight beaming down, all the while gently stroking the egg in his hand. Without warning, he felt it. Whereas before he had felt only a smooth shell, now he could sense the life of the almost fully formed creature inside. The baby Scath didn't have any clear thoughts, and the experience was nothing like his mental connection with Alma or even the Shale Adder. This was more of a feeling or emotional bond. Richter could sense that the baby Scath wanted warmth and had started to experience a growing hunger. On a deep level, he understood that it was this hunger that would soon force it to break beyond the boundaries of the only world it had ever known. To fill this need, it would punch through the shell of its egg and feel the cool water and warm sun for the first time. While Richter marveled in this sense of connection, a prompt appeared. Congratulations! You have learned the subskill Exotic Beasts. You can now raise monsters and strange animals. As this is a subskill of Animal Husbandry, you have learned this skill as well. Congratulations! You have learned the skill Animal Husbandry. Under your ministrations, you can now raise animals to be stronger and more plentiful in what they yield. It is now within your power to coax the lives of the beasts around you. While the farmer may cultivate grain and vegetables, you will cultivate the creatures of this world. Sion looked at him in surprise. I just learned a new skill. And a sub-skill. Richter looked at his companion in shock. Animal Husbandry and Exotic Beasts? Yes, Sion said. How did you know? Did you look at my status page? No, Richter shook his head. It's just that I learned the same skills just now. Does this ever happen? Two people learning such specific skills at once? It can, Sion replied doubtfully. What is strange is that I've never had any skill with animals in the past. All of my people had various connections to the forest, and mine dealt with herbs. I was actually forbidden from working with the animals we kept. One of the elders once said that barring actually eating them alive, I could not have made the animals hate me more. The two companions looked at each other, trying to figure out what had just happened until Richter posited, Maybe this is the skill the quickening increased. Sion slowly nodded and said, Maybe. But his tone remained doubtful.
Congratulations, Lord Richter,
Deera said once the companions were done speaking. She clapped her hands in delight.
We did not think
you would grasp the skill so quickly, Darren continued. Congratulations to you as well, Sir Sprite. Is there
anything else you need right now?
Deera asked. No, thank you, Richter replied.
Then we will go swimming, the male twin said. Of course,
you are welcome to join us,
Deera finished with a small smile. Not waiting for a response, the twins swam out into the lake and were soon splashing each other and wrestling in the water. Richter and Sion watched them for another minute or two. Nothing weird about that, the Chaos Seed said. Sion kept his eyes glued to the sexy, naked twins and said,
I like them.
A grin that large should not have fit on the sprite's face. Richter kept looking as well.
I like them too. Dibs on the girl.
Sion turned his head and looked at him in surprised outrage. Then the sprite just turned back to watching the twins and said,
Meh.
Richter laughed. All right, creepy smurf. What did you want to show me? He asked, reminding his friend of their initial reason for coming to the meadow.
What? Oh, right, this way.
The two of them walked north along the lake's edge until they reached the waterfall that fell from the cliffs above. Richter took off his shirt and shoes and placed them in his bag. He knew from experience that no matter how wet the outside of the bag became, the contents would remain nice and dry. Sion led the way across the rocks that stuck up out of the water in front of the waterfall. Each was slippery, but they were able to make it safely to the midway point of the falls without falling. Sion then stepped forward into the torrent of water and entered the cave hidden beyond. Richter followed a moment later and was immediately drenched. He was through in a moment, though, and stood in the near darkness of the hidden cavern. He cast simple light. A glowing white ball appeared above his head and illuminated the area around him. Pieces of harvested crystal sat on the ground where the mist workers had left them after clearing the tunnel to the crystal garden. Richter spent a few minutes loading all of them into his bag. The villagers were restricted from coming to this part of the meadow, but it still seemed like a good idea not to leave a valuable resource just lying around. When he was done, Sion led him to the back of the cavern, to the small tunnel that led up to the crystal garden. The walls of the tunnel still had small amounts of crystal attached, which tugged at his clothes, but it wasn't a true impediment. The tunnel narrowed and led upward, ending in a hole in the ceiling. Richter soon emerged from the tunnel and pulled himself up into the larger cave system that held the garden. When he was finally in the upper cavern, he looked around but couldn't see much. There were mist lights in the far ends of the cavern, but the illumination was only enough for him to make out vague shapes around him. Also, the glow from his simple light spell only cast a radiance of about 5 feet, and it wasn't enough to see the cavernous space he was standing in. As Sion climbed up after him, Richter cast mist light from his personal mana pool. A large ball of gray light appeared before him. He placed his hand on it and pushed it towards the ceiling, where it would stay for the next year. What it showed took his breath away. He was standing in a forest of crystal. Large and small, the iridescent shards stuck out of the ceiling, walls, and floor. Stone stalactites hung down and were now studded with crystal shards like corn on a cob. The largest crystal, he could see, was jutting up from the ground and was 4 feet long and 2 feet thick. There was so much. Even though it had made things dangerous for a moment, he in no way doubted he had made the right decision to sacrifice a special soul stone to accelerate the garden's growth. He hadn't known at the time that the garden was also going to experience months of growth all at once, but from what he could see, it seemed like that entire growth cycle had occurred as if accelerated by the soul of the demoness he had sacrificed. The garden would probably never experience growth like that again, but for now, he was swimming in crystal. So we need a handful for each enchantment. How many useful doses can we get from this? He asked.
Hundreds? Probably thousands, Sion said with a smile. And just to be clear, it is not exactly a handful that determines the appropriate measurement. Your hand is bigger than mine after all. Some crystal is always lost when it's rendered to powder and then purified enough to be usable. But as you can see, there is more than enough raw crystal here to supply the village's needs. There are more crystal patches in the adjoining rooms. Nothing as extensive as this, but it is still a very respectable garden. The sprite's voice got a bit more serious. This is not what I wanted to show you, however.
Sion led him through the garden. At one point, Richter had to use the pommel of one of his swords to break a shard of crystal that was blocking his path. He put the broken piece in his bag along with the rest that he had collected. As they walked to the far end of the cavern, he cast mist light again and threw the ball of light towards the ceiling. Soon, he could make out something irregular against the far wall. Sion had led him unerringly towards the spot. At first, it looked like black crystal set against the gray stone walls, but then he saw that the color was actually a rich red. To be specific, blood red. Richter cast simple light again to improve his vision and examined it. His breath sped up as he read. You have found blood crystal, resource class rare. Steeped in the blood of Richter, master of the Mist Village, this crystal has greater properties than a normal crystal. This red mineral is tied to Richter and can make objects and potions specifically tailored to him. The properties linking him to this crystal also mean that it can be used to target him with certain spells or poisons. The damage he would receive would be magnified significantly. This crystal may also be used to augment blood magic. Further uses of this crystal exist and must be discovered. Richter looked at Sion, who gravely looked back. Then his eyes turned back towards the patch of crystal. The Chaos Seed realized that he was basically looking at a ready-made voodoo doll that could only be used against him. The patch of crystal was about 4 feet across. How much powdered crystal could be made out of this? He asked softly. Sion examined the patch.
I won't know until we get it down. 5 measures, maybe 10. I cannot say for sure.
Does anyone else know about this? Richter asked in the same voice.
I do not think so, Sion said. The guards patrol this side of the meadow, and I do not think anyone besides you and I have been inside.
Richter nodded.
Thank you for watching out for me, my friend.
Let's harvest it. The companions worked in silence. They broke off pieces of crystal with their swords and put the shards in Richter's bag. Sion commented that small red shards were falling to the ground, but Richter had already thought of that. He summoned a mistworker who was able to absorb everything on the ground through its amorphous body. It also helped to break off pieces of crystal. When they were finally done, the worker funneled the tiny red shards through its body and into Richter's bag. Lastly, it scoured the wall of any red fragments that had been too small for the two men to harvest. When they were done, all that was left was blank stone. In the center of the bare patch was a crater with a small hole in the middle.
Will it grow back? Richter asked. I cannot say, Sion replied. If there was some kind of seed that it would grow back from, I would bet that it's down that hole, he said, pointing to the finger's breadth burrow that disappeared into the stone. If you truly want to remove any doubt, we could dig into the stone, or you could use your sonic spell. I doubt whatever crystal seed is down there would survive that.
Richter looked at the small divot and thought about it. He could see substantial gains from using the blood crystal. Personalized items of great power were a powerful enticement. On the other hand, the red crystal could be used to make a powerful item specifically geared to kill him. He thought about it for a few more seconds, and ultimately it was the third property that decided him. Right now, he was too vulnerable to the effects of deep magic. If this crystal could give him the chance to gain greater control or power, then it was worth the risk. For now.
Futon, Richter said, addressing the glowing orb.
Yes, my lord.
The light in the center of the remnant pulsed slowly. Summon a mistworker every day to harvest the crystal in the cavern. Always give them two instructions. To stay at least 10 yards away from the focus crystal, and if they ever detect more red crystal, to harvest all they can find, including whatever may fall to the ground and bring it immediately to either Sion or myself.
It will be done, Lord Richter,
came the monotone reply.
Can you prepare the blood crystal tonight?
Richter asked his companion. I don't want it just sitting around, and I need to know what the specific capabilities are. Sion nodded.
It will take all night, and might go faster if I had a mist worker.
Richter summoned another 2 gray workers on the spot and put them both at Sion's disposal.
Do you want to leave?
Sion asked.
Not yet. We have more to do,
Richter replied. The two men walked through the maze of caverns. Richter ordered the mist workers to start harvesting crystal and placing it by the waterfall entrance. Alma had flown off when they entered the garden. When he mentally asked where she was, she sent an image of a half-eaten bloody rat carcass with guts strewn along the floor. She also sent along a feeling of extreme satisfaction. Richter gagged slightly and broke off the mental contact. The stone rooms adjoining the main cavern had small patches of crystal, but as they walked further in, the stone grew bare. Despite the explosive growth the garden had undergone, it had not reached too far into the extensive cave system. This actually eased Richter's mind, as his first stop was the rune room. The rune looked exactly the same as the last time he had seen it, a square with concave sides surrounded by a larger triangle. When he focused on it, he again received a prompt asking if he would like to deactivate the enchantment. He still wanted to know if he could retrieve the soul stone that powered the rune, but he didn't have an immediate use for another high-level soul stone, even if he could. Richter also didn't want to ruin any research opportunities this rune might provide his scholars in the future. He chose no on the prompt and moved on. His primary reason for wanting to visit the rune chamber was to ensure that the crystal garden hadn't compromised it in any way. Now that he saw it was untouched, he felt better. He moved on to his next task, making a map. At his request, Sion walked off into the caves. It was time to put the mapping ring to good use. Richter pulled up a translucent mini-map in the corner of his vision and watched as blackness was replaced by whatever tunnels the sprite was walking through. Nodding to himself, he started exploring as well with a sense of satisfaction. That mapping ring was worth every copper he'd paid for it. After about 10 minutes, he finally came upon the cavern that held the remains of and items from the dark aberration's victims. He had been leaving mist lights strewn about the cavern periodically, but also carried one with him. For the past several minutes, he had been detecting an increasingly foul odor. When he brought light to this cavern, his heart fell, and he knew where the smell was coming from. Since coming back into the caverns, he had been unconsciously forcing himself not to think about something. He had been able to forget the caves that now held his beautiful crystal garden had, until recently, been home to a malevolent monster that had resided here for centuries. That coping mechanism failed utterly now that he was confronted with the remains of its victims. The horrors he had personally experienced at the mercy of the dark aberration slithered up from his memory to the forefront of his conscious mind. Richter shuddered involuntarily. After a few minutes, he was able to collect himself again and forced his mind to look at the scene dispassionately. There were thousands of bones. The clutter was a mix of animal and humanoid remains, some yellowed with age, but others still relatively pure white. Almost all of the clothing was moldy and tattered, but there were the mutilated remains of a relatively fresh goblin body. He realized it must have been from the group of goblins he had killed, what seemed like so long ago, though it had only been a little over a month. This was the source of the horrid stink he had been smelling. Coming to this cavern had been the third thing on Richter's agenda, and the only thing on his mind was the loot. When he saw layers of dead bodies, though, shoved into the large cavern like litter in a hoarder's home, it drove home how the dark aberration had preyed on hapless travelers for countless years. Richter came to a decision. He didn't know who these people were, but he knew they at least deserved a proper burial. Richter summoned two mist workers from his personal mana. Then he addressed the remnant. Futin, take some of the mist workers and have them start digging a mass grave for these people. I'll send more when my mana recovers. Richter could have summoned a third worker right then, but he really didn't want to bottom out his mana and risk passing out. After you get it started, go and get Sumiko. We need her here to bless these bodies so they can't rise again. We don't need a repeat of the bugbear attack. Richter realized that Sumiko would probably need to order the mist workers around, so he told them to follow the orders of any villager so long as those orders didn't harm anyone else. Then, for good measure, he added in the third law of robotics and resolved to make these standing orders for any future mist workers summoned. Futin floated off with the three workers in tow. Richter called after him to gather the previously summoned three as well to help in digging the grave. Richter squinted his eyes and pinched the bridge of his nose to ward off the mana headache, but it swiftly left as his MPs replenished. With his increased wisdom, he replenished more than 100 mana every 3 minutes or so. In practical terms, that meant he could summon about 20 mist workers an hour. Richter hadn't really counted on an increase in village productivity coming from his decision to invest points in wisdom, but he saw now that his ability to summon workers quickly could be a real catalyst for village growth. After resting for a few minutes, Richter summoned another mist worker and ordered it to start pulling the bodies out of the cavern. He singled out the goblin's body first and searched it after his magical servant had retrieved the remains. All he found was a single ratty pouch attached to a belt that contained a few copper coins. The mist worker brought the next body out, and Richter started searching again. Every time his mana went above 100, Richter summoned another mist worker. He had them start taking the bodies and skeletons to where the other mist workers were digging. Sion joined him before long, the rest of the caverns now mapped. Richter checked his map and saw no other spots of immediate interest. The sprite looked in shock at the ossuary in front of him. Seeing Richter's grim expression, he just nodded at his friend and helped him remove anything valuable from the remains the mist workers were retrieving. Most of the skeletons possessed nothing of value. In fact, before long, what the mist workers pulled out of the cavern were just jumbles of old bones. Whether because of time or trauma, many of the older bones were fractured and crushed. The bones had been mixed together into a heap, and the weight of the bones above had proved enough to break those beneath. Richter just kept up a steady stream of mist workers to help dispose of the remains with as much dignity as he could afford, but even he knew it was basically a fool's errand. It took several hours to clear out the cavern, but ultimately, all of the remains were taken outside. While it remained true that there was little to be found on most of the skeletons, he did find some notable items. Richter took great satisfaction in being able to identify magic items. You have found Cobalt Mace of Mana Stealing. Damage, 3-8. Max, 22-30. Durability, 8/67. Item class, uncommon. Quality, well-crafted. Weight, 2.9 kilograms. Traits, Mace will steal 13 mana per strike. Charges, 107/107. You have found Summoner's Ring. Durability, 22/116. Item class, rare. Quality, masterwork. Weight, 0.01 kilograms. Traits, increases level of summoned creatures by +5. You have found Glamour Ring. Durability, 5/17. Item class, uncommon. Quality, above average. Weight, 0.01 kilograms. Traits, can change your visage to look like someone else for 11 minutes. One use per day. You have found Orcish Flag of Yarosh. Durability, 2/58. Item class, rare. Quality, superb. Weight, 0.4 kilograms. Traits, +846 to fighting spirit when leading orcs. You have found Sacrificial Bone Knife. Damage, 4-6. Max, 10-16. Durability, 41/95. Item class, unusual. Quality, exquisite. Weight, 0.5 kilograms. Traits, this blade was carved from the backbone of an elf child, and the pieces were fused with a glue processed from the marrow of his bones. It has taken so many lives that it has become permeated with death magic. It is exceptionally suited for killing blows. +513% damage when striking a helpless foe. You have found Soulstone, level luminous, status empty, x37. You have found Soulstone, level brilliant, status empty, x17. You have found Soulstone, level special, status empty, x9. You have found Soulstone, level resplendent, status empty, x3. You have found Scroll Case of Monster Attraction, luminous, durability 37/102, item class common, quality well crafted, weight 0.7 kilograms. Traits, this case contains a scroll of monster attraction. Activating this scroll will attract the strongest monster within a 1 mile radius. This scroll will only affect creatures with a luminous soul level or lower, x2. You have found Bracelet of Smooth Movement. Durability 23/42. Item class, uncommon. Quality, superb. Weight, 0.03 kilograms. Traits, removes 29% of movement penalty for going through difficult terrain. The ring of summoning went onto his finger immediately. Right now, the strongest being he could summon was the Sapling, and it was only level 5. If he dual-cast the spell, it tacked on a couple levels, but this ring would make the creature twice as powerful. His weakest ring of health went to Sion, reducing his health by 24, but increasing his companions by the same amount. He immediately felt slightly less hale, but this new ring was worth the loss. Besides, it was masterwork. No self-respecting AT alien would let bling like this go to waste. The glamour ring was fascinating as well. Richter cast Mirror, then slipped another health ring off and placed the new ring in its place. With a bit of mental flexing, he activated it. Richter thought about looking like Chris Pratt, hoping to get his Guardians of the Galaxy on, but the ring made him look like a slightly overweight white human. It apparently had only one setting. Richter placed his hand up to his face and still felt his own features. When he spoke, it was still his own voice. The ring apparently cast only the weakest of illusions, not even changing his clothes, but it could still be useful in the right situation. Richter removed the ring and his visage reverted back to normal. He went back to examining the rest of the items. The battle flag was interesting. He knew anecdotal stories of weary soldiers rallying around a flag, but in the land, this was apparently a quantifiable effect. He didn't see himself leading orcs into battle anytime soon, but it did raise the question of why he couldn't make his own banner. The ratty thing was almost falling apart, so he carefully rolled it up and placed it into his bag. He placed the Bracelet of Smooth Movement onto his left wrist and stored everything else. In addition to these more powerful objects, Richter also found a number of weak rings of health, stamina, and mana. Those he intended to hand out to his war party tomorrow. Sion picked through the bunch first and grabbed what he wanted. There were also many broken weapons, shields, and pieces of armor. Those wouldn't